Blog Talk Radio.
For Rihanna. Hi, this is Darlene Lewis, and you are listening to Hear No Evil here on blogtalkradio.com. You can call me at any time between 6:30 and 7:30 at 347-989-0761. I have a few things to talk about tonight, and tonight's topic, have you ever been discriminated against? Now, we all know that in America there have always been problems with isms. Socialism, sexism, ethnocentrism. The problem with America is not the diversity of its citizens, but the treatment of people that do not have commonality. Are you a victim of racism, or have you ever witnessed anyone being discriminated against? Do you think you are being discriminated against right now at your job, at your church, in your love life? Have you applied for a job and believe you have not received it because of the way you looked? If so, call into the radio show today, Thursday at 6:30, 347-989-0761. You can also listen in online at www.blogtalkradio.com/handleevil. So much has happened this week with the General Assembly at the UN, water main breaks at, in New York, and the execution of Troy Davis. A very sad, sad last day on this earth. He had, 4 hours of waiting whether or not the Supreme Court was going to change their mind and come to his defense and just take into account the witnesses or the lack of proof there was. But we all know that two wrongs don't make a right. If you kill someone, does that mean you should be killed also? And in the case of Troy Davis, do you think some of the evidence or the lack thereof evidence, if he was a white man, his case would have been handled differently? I really don't know. But a lot of people have had misconceptions about this whole Troy Davis case. It's a sad situation. But I'm very proud of the way his nephew has been carrying on. He's such a sweet young man who is powerful, who is mentored now by NAACP President Jealous and a lot of different people in social organizations and human rights act organizations that's going to help him to keep him on the right path because he's such a gifted young man and he fought to the very end to try to help his uncle Troy Davis. Give me a call, 347-989-0761. I want to really talk about this discrimination and racism here in America. Be right back.
Maintenant, on va danser un petit peu, hein? Ok? Tout le monde, bonne
got a big ego, ha ha ha, such a big ego, I got a big ego, she love my big ego, so stroke my big ego, I like to joke around a little bit, but here we go, welcome to the wonderful world, go play the Earl, cause everything I throw up, blow up, talking to the girl, she said, know what, grow up, you nasty. I don't understand why they tripping if you ask me. Flow just the nicest. I admit the propane I just spit probably just raised the gas prices. Everybody in the club trying to get as fresh as me. What you on, dog? Trying to stay recession free and spit refreshingly when I rock the stadium. You probably get sweaty, you should bring an extra tea. Now I'm standing next to Jay, who's standing next to B. Could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. That's good for my ego. Me and my ego, any go wherever we go. My ego is my imaginary friend. He was with me when I was only imagining. I had dreams of the league. One day I played Kobe, or walk up to Puff and he'd really know me. Coulda let the dream killers kill my self-esteem, or use the arrogance as a steam that power my dreams and my ego.
Call anywhere cause you the boss. For real, want you to show me how you feel. I consider myself, okay, that's a big deal. Why? Well, you got the key to my heart, but you ain't gon' need it. I'd rather you open up my body and show me secrets you didn't know what's inside. No key for me to lie. It's too big, it's too wide, it's too strong, it won't fit. It's too much, it's too tough. He can back it up. He got a big ego. Such a huge ego. I love his big.
Yeah, that was Beyonce. And she just loves his big ego. Call me now, 347-989-0761. You know, stroke awareness is good, but stroke prevention is even better. 4 out of 5 strokes, in my opinion, can be prevented when the risk is detected early and then treated by a doctor. Lifeline screening can save lives. Now, did you know, I have some notes here that I wanted to let my listeners listen to, because a lot of times we talk about going, you know, along in life and not really paying attention to those risk factors and those little signs in our, that our bodies may send off, letting us know that there's really something not right, but we tend to just overlook it, especially a lot of men. They don't really like going to the hospital. But did you know that strokes are one of the leading causes of death and disability in the U.S.? And most stroke victims had no apparent symptoms. However, the good news is that many conditions that lead to strokes can be identified and treated before a stroke occurs. Now, over 6 million Americans have been screened with the same state-of-the-art Doppler ultrasound technology found in most hospitals. But you can ask your doctor about life screening. It's called Lifeline screening. Each professional health screening generally takes about 10 minutes. They are absolutely painless, non-invasive, and you don't even have to remove your clothing. Now, here are 3 screeners that can help you prevent a stroke. There's something called the carotid artery screening. Ultrasound scan of the carotid arteries that screens for buildup of fatty plaque, which is a leading cause of stroke. Then you have the heart rhythm screening, atrial fibrillation. Now, this is a quick and easy test using an EKG, electrodes placed on the arms and legs, which will identify the presence or absence of an irregular heartbeat. Atrial fibrillation increases the risk of stroke 5 times. Then there's the systolic hypertension screening. Now, this screens for high blood pressure, a major risk factor for 30% of all adults. This screening is conducted with the PAD screening. Plus, you could get 2 additional screenings, abdominal aortic aneurysm screening, ultrasound scan that screens for the existence of aneurysm, which is an enlargement, in the abdominal aorta that could lead to a ruptured aorta. And lastly, peripheral arterial disease screening, which is PAD for short. Now, this screens for peripheral arterial disease, which is like a plaque buildup in the lower extremities. It is 4 to 5 times more likely you will die from heart disease if you have peripheral artery disease. Okay? And doctors have identified 3 distinct factors that could cause strokes, really all strokes. Most strokes usually have no prior symptoms, like I said before, but have causes that can now be easily identified and then treated. Narrowing of the carotid artery in the neck. This can be caused by the buildup of fatty plaque, a leading cause of strokes in both men and women. With the atrial fibrillation, this is a particular kind of irregular heartbeat that increases the risk of strokes 5 times over. And high blood pressure, like I said before, this often has no warning sign or symptoms, but is a major risk for strokes. So if you are interested in Lifeline screening, just give them a call, 1-800-395-1801 to register. We'll be right back.
There's always that one person that will always have your heart. You never see it coming cause you're blinded from the start. Know that you're that one for me. It's clear for everyone to see. Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
You gotta rock and wait in this one. Oh, come on.
See, I don't know about y'all, but I know about us. And it's the only way we know how to rock. I don't know about y'all, but I know about us, and it's the only way we know how to rock.
Do you remember, girl, I was the one who gave you your first kiss? Cause I remember, girl, I was the one who said, put your lips like this. Even before all the fame and people screaming your name. Girl, I was there, and you were my baby.
It started when we were young.
Another brother's taking over, but it's still
Gotta love Usher and Alicia Keys, my boo. Now, tonight's topic is about discrimination, but I want to talk to you a little bit about this film, and I really hope that you guys try to go to your local movie outlet or, I'm sorry, your local store where you can get a DVD. And the movie is called Diggers, which is a film tribute to 100,000 Caribbean men in Panama, Jamaica, and Barbados, and New York. The reaction of the old men was the same. Now, though some shed tears, the feeling was universally one of joy. The men, everyone out in their 90s and beyond, had lived long enough to have their stories told. These were the workers on the Panama Canal, a turn-of-the-century project that improved shipping commerce for the world, helped to make America a world power, and led the growth of several large U.S. corporations. Despite all this, these canal workers have not received the recognition that monumental construction warranted. There was, however, a strong feeling of achievement shared by the surviving canal workers who participated in the making of the film Diggers. The feature-length film is a tribute to the 100,000 black men from the Caribbean who worked on the canal from 1881 to 1914. The documentary is also a memorial for the 30,000 men who died during construction. Now, this was broadcasted on 260 public broadcasting service stations in America and the Virgin Islands back in 1985. But you need to try and dig up this film. The old men interviewed in the film were in their youthful 20s when they left the islands of the West Indies and went to Panama to find better wages, you know, while working on the canal. And this was a massive project. The pay was 10 cents an hour. The work was arduous and dangerous. Digging with picks and shovels, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. The laborers worked in tropical heat and jungle. There were natural disasters like yellow fever and malaria, carrion, mosquitoes. Difficulty while I was talking. Like I said, these men suffered such catastrophes, train accidents, and racial segregation brought from America. Now, you got to remember, we're talking 1881. Just mention the canal to a Jamaican or a Barbadian today, and you may hear a tale of a father or uncle or even an aunt who lived or worked in Panama during the construction period. Though these two islands housed the main recruiting stations, canal workers came from every island in the Caribbean chain, from Trinidad and Tobago to Cuba and all points in between. Now, the initial construction effort begun by the French in 1880 had, by 1889, failed. The United States began negotiations to acquire the canal property from the French in 1902. Then there was this Hay-Bonneville Treaty between an independent Panama and the United States was finally signed in November of 1902. three. Now, but think carefully now. We're talking during the time, this was like the Jim Crow era, you know, 30, 40 years after Emancipation Proclamation. The Hybinal Varilla Treaty between an independent Panama and the United States. Excavation of the Culebra Cut was begun by the United States in 1904 and took 7 years to complete at 10 cents an hour. 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. In 1907, which is a year before my grandfather was born, command of the project was given to Colonel George Goethals of the U.S. Corps of Engineers. There they go again, Army Corps of Engineers. They've been around a long time. The diggers were hired mostly from Barbados and Jamaica. Using flyers to advertise for workers, the word spread quickly. Now, the workers' contracts guaranteed free passage to Panama and free repatriation after 500 working days. Though diggers were paid 10 cents an hour, water carriers received only 8 cents an hour for the same 10-hour days and working 6-day weeks. The wages seem meager now, but it was more than the pay in most islands at the time. Now, on canal company salaries, many diggers saved enough money to send for their wives and families to join them in Panama. With hope of better wages, young men from all the islands poured into the Bridgetown, Barbados recruiting station to sign up for work. I wanted to get out of Barbados, stated Benjamin Jordan. You know the reason why? It was things in Barbados. It wasn't paying you nothing. And even 10 cents an hour to come to Panama was better than a stay in Barbados. They had men in those days working, some of them for a shilling a day, what you would call 24 cents. Digger John Woodcliffe Bowen said he had some friends and they was getting ready to go and he joined them. And his parents consented that he go to the canal. And so he left from St. Lucie, went to Bridgetown to the transportation office, and signed up for a trip to the canal. But poor conditions began for the workers when they set foot on the deck of the ships bound for the Panamanian port of Colon. The decks were as far as they got. Black workers were not allowed to use the cabins and were forced to stay on the exposed deck of the ships during the sea voyage to Panama. When I hear stuff like this, it just annoys me. The ships left on a Tuesday morning. It was crowded from bow to stern. They had 700 or 800 men. You had a piece of canvas and you laid and was glad to have that piece of canvas. That was your bed for the trip into Cologne. There was nothing special provided for no one. Life was rough. You had to eat what you got and no question about it. Many people died on that ship, on that passage from Barbados to Cologne. The natural elements the diggers face once in Panama will boggle the mind. The country has only two seasons. There's this dry season when temperatures can soar to 130 degrees, and the rainy season when about 59 to 79 inches of rain can be dumped on the canal area annually. You'll wake up in the morning and you'll find the sun is blazing hot and you'll be out there working and all of a sudden you'll just see a flash of lightning in a cloud. And before you know it, what is happening? The rain is down. And the rain, they say, poured all day long. You come up at noontime for lunch, and the rain falls. You go back, the rain falling. You come home in the evening, the rain falling. You get up next morning, the rain falling. No sun shining. You down in the cut, you dig. When you come up out of the cut, the mud was so heavy that when you get up top and think you had on shoes, your shoes were left down in the canal. So at the turn of the century, when big businesses were established and industrial fortunes made, the DuPont Company was a relatively small firm. But the company's government contract to provide dynamite for the canal made DuPont a fortune. As much as 6 million pounds of explosives were used annually to blast through difficult portions of the canal's proposed route. Specialty jobs such as the handling of dynamite, operating drills, and steam shovels, or working as a brakeman dumping discarded rock, carried the attraction of high wages and the greater risk of accidents. Many times, the diggers told of men losing legs, arms, lives, working in those positions. Arnold Small was a waiter. I'm sorry, he was a water boy. He became a man handling explosives. He says, so I worked 1 week as a water boy, and then I started as a man. Water boy was 7 cents an hour, and a man was 10 cents. And they wanted 50 boxes, and they had 49 men. And the man looked at me and said, you look big enough to bring a box of powder. Okay, bring a box of powder and change into a man. But many men died. In the film, Bowen weeps at the loss of about 200 men in a dynamite explosion in the cut. Jordan describes how a man was killed by a steam shovel, and Constantino Parkinson told how he was severely injured dumping rock. He says, I get a job in 1913 as a brakeman carrying rock to dump in the West. Breakwater. In July 16, 1913, I got injured. I lose my right leg completely and crushed left heel. My grandmother went to Governor Gothels at the time he was a colonel, and she asked him, my grandson lose his foot and part of his heel. What compensation he going to get? Colonel Gothels told her, my dear lady, Congress did not pass any law for aliens to get compensation when they lose. However, not to fret, your grandson will be taken care of as soon as he is able to work, even in a wheelchair. I'm going to take a break right now and play some more music, because when I hear stuff like that, the way men and women were discriminated against, it just tears my heart. Call me now, 347-989-0761, as we talk more about the film Diggers.
I can't tell no more. Never had.
Welcome back to Hear No Evil. The topic of tonight is, have you ever been discriminated against? You can give me a call at 347-989-0761. But I want to continue on talk to you about the film Diggers. Where we left off, a man was not able to work because he had lost his leg, his right leg, and crushed his left heel. And his grandmother tried to go to the colonel, who was in charge of the Panama Canal, of paying people, and was treated very, very, you know, elusively, and was told not to fret, that her grandson will be taken care of as soon as he's able to work, even in a wheelchair. There were accounts of yellow fever, malaria, and sickness taking its toll among the workers. Someone by the name of Saboy says that he took sick. He had to come home. He came home in 1906. He think it was either January or February, and he spent the whole of the year to get rid of his fever. And all the doctors, they couldn't do nothing for him. He said he had the fever and the chills. He said he swelled up really large and had no color. He actually turned yellow. The doctors told him he had yellow fever. So he said, no, I didn't have yellow fever, because yellow fever was rampant at that time. You know, and the white people used to die out every minute. The American construction period also brought segregation by color into the lives of the diggers. Silver and gold was the basis of the system in the canal zone. The white man was paid in gold, and the black man was paid in silver. There were no signs saying whites only or colored only, but the meaning was the same. Separate schools, post offices, housing commissaries, and other facilities existed for blacks and whites. American workers were paid in gold, and blacks were paid in silver. A long struggle by black laborers for better wages of working conditions began in 1914 when the canal opened and ended with the establishment of the AFL-CIO Local 900 in 1950. But these years of effort were not enough to get diggers adequate pensions. The Employees Association was formed by a Barbadian man by the name of Samuel Scheidt in 1916. Inspired by Marcus Garvey and other labor activists, the association strike went out in that year. But the strike failed, and the demise of followed. Now, black workers were organized again just 4 years later by West Indians Preston Style and Samuel Innes. Wonder if he related to Roy Innes. Anyway, they led a strike for better wages and working conditions that closed the canal down for a week. But the U.S. government forced the strikers back to work and cut their pay by 2 cents an hour in retribution for their job action. In 1924, White reorganized the Caribbean workers to form the Panama Canal West Indian Employees Association. The organization fought for a retirement policy and benefits from the United States. Many of the diggers had worked 35 to 40 years on the canal. 13 years later, the United States Congress passed the Disability Relief Act for all silver employees. In 1985, the highest paid pension received by a digger was $187 a month, more than $100 less than the minimum Social Security payment to an American. The story of the black contribution to the canal is known in Central America, the Caribbean, and West Indian American circles, but the diggers feel that more people should know. Roman J. Foster, producer and director of the film Diggers, has been working with the staff of Diggers Productions to make sure the world knows the story. Foster, at age 31, heard tales of canal construction practically everywhere he went, but he heard it more when he was growing up in Panama. He says, I grew up with stories about the canal. Whenever the old men in Panama got together on their balconies or in the parks, there was always canal talk. After all, these men averaged 35 to 40 years of service to the canal. It was their lives. He also heard the canal story from his own family. Both of his grandfathers, one from Barbados and the other from Jamaica, were diggers. Foster left Panama at age 14 years of age and took up residence in New York. While majoring in Black History at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, Foster gained a great appreciation for the canal talk he had heard back home. He met writer Alice Haley in 1978 and discussed the old men of Panama and the history with him. Haley, the author of Roots and the As Told to Autobiography of Malcolm X. Haley finally told me to stop talking about it and just do it. Go to Panama, find the old men, and begin recording their stories. The following year, Foster made his first trip to the Canal Zone, starting the 8-year-long Diggers film project. One of his first stops on the initial trip to Panama was the office where the workers picked up their monthly pension checks. There he met many diggers who assisted him in locating even more surviving canal workers. Foster spent the next 8 months gathering information from the diggers living in Panama. Each one had a profound story to tell of what had been seen and experienced on the canal. Accidents, friendships, sicknesses, engineering feats, segregation, injustices, pride, and amazement. And each one also shared his spiritual self. I know I was made stronger through those experiences, said. Working as a social studies teacher in a New York City junior high school, Foster made enough money for his next research trip in 1980 in Jamaica and Barbados. He spent 5 months seeking out and interviewing diggers who had returned to their native islands. He also collected documents, photographs, and press clippings from the construction period and did some archival research. Through the contributions of the Ford Foundation, the New York State Council of the Arts, and the Caribbean community, Diggers Productions completed the film project. Foster commends the grassroots community support and helped perpetuate this important piece of Black history. Community interest developed to the point where committees were formed. People saw the importance of the project and just got together to raise money. It's beautiful to see the people respond where the major corporations turned them down, not only in New York, but in Washington, D.C., and Panama. And it's not just descendants of the diggers. People of all nationalities and races have come together to see this thing done. Please, do yourself a favor. Rent the movie. Find it. Go to a library. Get Diggers. Story of the Panama Canal. Be right back.
Well, people don't think. Can do, and it's too
Too bad that Love is Blind. Alicia Keys is so phenomenal. What a phenomenal singer. But we're coming to the end of our show. As you can see, discrimination has come in all forms in America and overseas, on the islands. It's just a horrible, horrible disease. And I'm just hoping that sometime in my lifetime the disease will be cured. I want to thank you for listening in and tuning in. Every week we try to bring you some interesting topics. You can also watch our television show, Celebrity Showcase TV, which highlights the legends of hip-hop, allows individuals to promote their products, goods, and services, and you see unsigned acts. This weekend we will be shooting segments of Celebrity Showcase for Deadbeat, based on the novel Deadbeat, that you can get at lulu.com/Darlene Lewis. I want to thank our Youth Matter nonprofit organization and the president of that company, Lisa Fields Lennon. And also, I want you to remember that a mind and a body can do nothing without the soul. You can always promote your products, goods, and services on our radio show. And if you commit to 1 month, you automatically get promoted on our television show, Celebrity Showcase, which airs every Wednesday on Channel 56 on Time Warner, MNN Cable, on RCN Cable Channel 83, and on Files Channel 34. You can also stream the show live, Celebrity Showcase, every Wednesday at 6:30 at www.mnn.org on the Lifestyle Channel 2. So you can see it online if you don't have cable. If you're interested in auditioning for Deadbeat, the reality show, you can always go to www.futurenetworkproductions.com. Click on the TV links or the radio links, and you will be able to send information. If you'd like to send your picture, your bio, and information about your products, business, services, you can email us at info@futurenetworkproductions.com. Until next week, enjoy.